Well, hello. Welcome to this session of the Advisor Pact monthly session. This is the time each month where we get together and we do live coaching. So what I have done each and every month is I go through all the questions that come in over the past 30 days, and I try to pick the ones that I think are the most useful for the entire group. So we're going to do that today. And as a matter of fact, while I continue to set the table with what we're going to do today, I'll put the questions up that we're going to be dealing with so you can look at them and determine to what extent they're relevant to you and your situation. But let me just say a couple of things. The purpose of this program is, well, this program is called the Advisor Pact Monthly Program. So for those of you new to the program, the question is going to be, what is Advisor Pact? What do you mean by Advisor Pact? Well, in this program, the objective is for you to make a promise to each and every one of your ideal clients. And that promise is as follows. You're making an Advisor Pact with your ideal clients. And PACT is an acronym that stands for protection, attention, coordination, and transparency. And the very first module of this program is called The Essentials of Advisor PACT. And so I encourage you to go through that. I go through it once a year because it really takes you implementing this program over time to get new layers of understanding and for you to reveal to you what this Advisor Pact pledge actually means. And I will say this, it's one thing to make the promise. It's another thing to actually implement behind the scenes everything required in order to deliver on the promise or to deliver on your Advisor Pact. So let's get to the questions. I thought the questions this month were, we got a lot of questions and I tried to respond to them in real time, but these two stood out to me because we don't often get questions like this. And I thought, let's deal with it this month. It has to do with outcomes. It has to do with measuring success. The questions this month that captured my attention had more to do with you know, how do I know if I'm implementing well? How do I know if I'm implementing properly? So let's start with the first question first. Take a sip of coffee. Okay. So this came in. This had to do more with let's just see, and maybe you can interpret this question a little bit differently than I did, but let me just give you what the way the question came in. I'm having much better results acquiring clients since you began walking through your method of developing personal relationships rather than using sales techniques. Okay, so let me back up just a little bit. With much fanfare, I have not shared my client acquisition methodology traditionally for a couple of reasons. One is that the interest in what I've put together had more to do with client service, not with client acquisition. And so And Bill Bachrach was very clear with me on this. Mark, you know, what people really want to know about what you've created is how do you deliver on the promise to a client? How do you actually deliver for high-end clients? And so I am aware that is the primary thing that most advisors want to learn about what I've done. But that doesn't mean that nobody wants to know how I acquired all these clients. It's a separate process. It's a separate project. So you've got lead generation. That's what I call it. You know, you've got the process of, you know, do you have enough people to talk to? Are you conducting initial client interviews with enough people on a regular basis? And for the case of most of you, including me, are you conducting enough financial roadmaps? So that's one project. And then the other project is, once you've completed enough financial roadmaps so that now you've got clients, so let's say a handful of clients, 10 or 20 ideal clients. Well, yes, of course. At that point, your number one objective is, how do I deliver on all the promises that I made to this family, you know, when they first came on board as clients? All right, I'm with you on that. So, but that doesn't mean that we didn't have anybody asking, you know, Mark, you say you're an introvert and you've got call reluctance, yet you were number one producer at your firm. How does that all work? You know, how did you figure out, you know, lead generation and so forth? So last year, there were enough people hammering me on this that I said, starting in 2023, I will take questions on client acquisition. I'll open it up. I won't keep it a secret, because that was the problem. Everybody thought I was trying to keep it a secret. No, I was not trying to keep a secret. My reason for not getting into it is because I did test this with a few individual advisors, and I came to the conclusion that I just don't think you can train the way that I did this remotely like this. I don't think so. So what I was trying to do was I was trying to help a handful of advisors utilize my methodology. That worked great, one-on-one coaching. But I was trying to create videos and processes so that I could roll it out and train you just as I have on client service. You know, it's a process and here's how you do it. That never worked. I could never get anybody to implement my methodology of developing business just by getting out there and rubbing elbows with friends, like developing personal relationships, you know, and how do you take a personal relationship? How does that ever become business? Well, I keep saying over and over, there are four skills that you have to master to make that work. But I didn't think I could actually train people remotely to do this. Well, this question and a handful of others in the last 5 months have kind of put a lie to that. So we've had advisors telling me, "Oh, Mark, thank you for sharing this the way that you did it. You know, you've told me a couple of things that were sticking points for me. I was trying to do it the same way, but it wasn't working. And Mark, when you walked through it, you kind of unjammed the logs so that I'm actually performing well, acquiring clients through just developing personal relationships, you know, not having any ulterior business motives when you sit down and meet with friends and colleagues and associates and so forth." So this year, this was an experiment to see if I start sharing the way that I acquire clients, is it even possible for you to learn how to do that remotely? Okay. Back to the question. I'm having much better results acquiring clients since you began walking through your method of developing personal relationships rather than using sales techniques. I was doing seminars and it took me 4 months to ramp up to using your method, but now I'm generating more revenue than I was before. How should I be measuring my effectiveness with this method? Okay, so I love this question. Like, how do I measure success? All right. Let me start with the obvious. The second module that we give you in this program is called Vision and Goals for Financial Advisors. So I'm going to pull up the first 15 modules, and my apologies. I know you cannot read this. Do not even try to read this. I'll walk you through this. I had to shrink it down to even get the first 15 modules on the screen. So let me just kind of point, you know, these are the first 15 modules. You'll get a module every month. If you look at the 15 modules, which by the way, I don't know if you can see this up at the very top, this little orange. This means that I'm in showing this view, I am currently clicked on the FAQs. So if you get into the Advisor Pack Monthly program, click on this FAQs, you'll see that there is a place you can click to see the first 15 modules in sequence. All right. So these are they. I know you can't read them, But let me just kind of walk you through what you're looking at here. This right here is the essential concepts of Advisor Pact that I just talked about a minute ago. So that's the first module. The second module is the one that I'm talking about. It's vision and goals for financial advisors. Now, we encourage not only that every one of you complete this module, we recommend that you complete this and update this every single year, starting in September. And so I would make a note right now that when we get to September of this year, you begin the process of going back and updating your vision and goals. So how does that answer this question? How do you measure success of client acquisition through vision and goals? It should be obvious. If you've gone through this module and you've got your goals for 2023 and you're on track to your goals, that's the ultimate measure of success. So as you're, no matter what client acquisition model you are implementing, doesn't matter. It's important that you have your goals and that you're on track to your goals. So if you're on track to your goals, what better way to measure success? All right. Now, people do ask me, you know, as I'm going through this, how do I determine if I'm actually implementing properly? All right. Well, let me go back and say this. So on the first module, the essentials of Advisor Pact, I would say this. And I'll tell you, if somebody ever wants to enter the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, which is our flagship program, it's our most advanced program. It's not that we're trying to upsell you. I could care less. What I did originally was, at Bill Bacharach's request, I created software that would track your team's ability to manage, to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. In other words, the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, more than a training program, is actually just software. So, you know, you have a potential ideal client, you enter their name into the Trusted Advisor Toolkit software, and it creates checklists for your team to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. So after I had developed this software, and it's expensive, it's $1,000 per month. And, you know, after I developed this, we had a wave of advisors saying, whoa, I'm not acquiring clients that quickly. I don't need software to help me manage things. Mark, can't you just tell me how you developed all this so that I don't have to spend $1,000 a month to learn how to implement all this? So I created this second program called the Advisor Pact Monthly Program. It's patterned exactly after the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. The only difference is it's not software. It's that I'm walking you through the same mental process that I went through in developing all this. So think of it as kind of a do-it-yourselfer version. I mean, once you're acquiring clients quickly, you may want to switch over to the software because it will help calm things down. It will help you manage your team and manage your clients. But if you're not acquiring, you know, if you have less than 10 ideal clients and you're acquiring less than one ideal client every quarter, you don't need software. You can manage it manually. And the Advisor Pack program is for that. It's for learning how to manually deliver what I call manually. In other words, without software managing it for you, how to manually deliver on the promise of truly comprehensive financial services without software. And so the question is, as you get these modules, how do you know if you're measuring success properly? Well, on the essentials on that first module, essential concepts of Advisor Pact, if somebody's joining the toolkit, I go back through each of these modules and I say, so what did you actually implement? And on this one, what I'm looking for is, have you made an Advisor Pact pledge to every single one of your ideal clients? It's either yes or no. So that's what we do. We go through and measure success on each module. For example, on vision and goals, what are your goals for this year? this calendar year. And so I will ask somebody wanting to join the toolkit, I'll go back through and I'll say, on this vision and goals module, what did you actually get done? Can you share with me your goals for your firm in a way that in the same way that you would a new member of your team? So not only does that module encourage you to create your vision and goals for your business, you know, help you envision your ideal life so that your business helps you create your ideal life. Not only does the vision and goals module do that, but we also encourage you in that module to come up with a version of your vision and goals that you can share with outsiders. In other words, it's not so personal, you're not going to share it with people. No, everyone on your team should know your vision and goals. So when you finish that module, I'm saying, share with me your vision and goals. That's the measure of success of that module. And each of these modules has their own method of measuring success. So this is the annual recurring revenue exercise. I know you can't read it, but that's a list. So it's encouraging you to put everyone on one list. It's a list of all your clients. And you may have different gradations of clients. Every advisor does this a little bit differently. You know, I have my A clients and my B clients and my C clients and so forth. Well, that's fine. All on one spreadsheet. We call it the ARR, the annual recurring revenue exercise. But I encourage also on that list to have everyone in the pipeline. So do you have a single simple spreadsheet listing all your clients and everyone currently in the pipeline, meaning non-clients, but you've focused on the fact that they need you, they want you, you're just kind of working on getting them in for an initial client interview. So, you know, that's the measure of success. I'll say, okay, share your screen, pull up your annual recurring revenue exercise, let's see it completed. So, you know, that's the measure of success. Each of these modules has a litmus test of whether you did or did not implement that module. So if you're curious on any of these 15 modules, submit a question to me. I'll cover it in this monthly session. So if you have a specific question about one of the modules, what is the measure of success for that module, just ask the question and I'll cover it. But to answer this question, and this is the potential client interaction time. So are you actually meeting face-to-face or on the phone with enough people out of the office every week, every month? So this is the tracking spreadsheet that I have sent you. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you need to contact me. Just go into the system and look for Contact Us and just say, what do you mean tracking spreadsheet? I have set up for you a folder with really powerful tracking mechanisms, tools in there, including the 5 toolkit practice management tools that we provide in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. I have already set you up with a folder with all these tools, but including a tracking spreadsheet. And so the measure of success of this potential client interaction time module is, on a weekly basis, are you spending the 5 minutes that it takes to update your tracking spreadsheet? So each of these modules has a litmus test measure for success. But to jump to what this particular advisor was talking about, which is client acquisition, it's module number 15. Now, you can't read that, but that is module 15 is called the annual referral rate and the referability dashboard. Here it is. So if you haven't gotten to this module, that's fine. It'll come. I don't think you need to implement this until you've implemented the other 14 modules. In other words, we'll talk more about that in this session. But you know, if you've implemented enough to where now your referrals are increasing because you're knocking your client's socks off, which is the goal of this program, how do you consistently exceed the expectations of a community of ideal clients? And more to the point, the team goal for each team member is, are we consistently exceeding the expectations of each ideal client? Yes or no? So we have a tool. It's a spreadsheet that we give you called the referability dashboard. And I wanted to talk about that. So the question is, how do I know that I'm measuring success properly with client acquisition? Well, number one, if you're on track to your goals, big check mark. Okay. And I'd say that's the main one. All right. But we do provide this referability dashboard, and I very seldom go through this with anybody in this webinar. So I thought I'd take a minute and walk you through this. I took a screenshot off the module itself. So I apologize again. It's a little bit blurry. I blew it up a little bigger than I should have, but I'm still going to walk you through this. A little sip of coffee. Why don't you take a sip of coffee as well? We can have coffee together. All right. So let me walk you through this dashboard. Just kind of stick with me as I walk through this. I'm going to start in the upper left-hand corner. See that pie chart with the number 3 right in the middle of it? All right. That little pie chart says how many referrals were received last month. Okay. So in this case, 3. Okay, great. You received 3 referrals from clients last month. I'm not saying unsolicited. I'm not saying referrals from non-clients. Those are tracked separately. All right. So let's say you have a great relationship with a local tax accountant, or you have a great relationship with a local estate planning lawyer, and they send you referrals on a regular basis. Well, I certainly did that happened a lot for me, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about on the referability dashboard, it's the client referral rate. It's how many referrals are your clients providing you? And we separate the clients. We have ideal clients and non-ideal clients, and we keep separate scoreboards for those two communities. We treat them as two completely separate communities of clients. So what is this telling us, or why do we separate them? Because it matters because of what they're paying. So if it, like in my case, an ideal client pays me $45,000 per client per year, and then what would a non-ideal client pay me? Well, I have very few of these. I would say really all of them are exceptions in my case. But what we do recommend for you and for other advisors, look, you're capable of generating the highest quality in the industry when it comes to an overarching strategy, or what many advisors call a financial plan. So you've got an ability to generate a financial strategy for a client that is, you know, the only game in town. It's the best, highest quality overarching strategy that any financial advisor in your community could produce. All right. It's worth, because we've got data on this, it's worth more than $20,000 if you were to assess, you know, survey affluent families and just say, you know, give them multiple choice. And you show them the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy and say, what would you be willing to pay for this? You know, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000. So the format that we provide you for creating an overarching strategy, every respondent said over $20,000. So we know that what you're producing, if you're producing our methodology, is worth more than $20,000. So back to this issue, what's a non-ideal client? Well, since you're capable of producing a plan, why not produce that for anybody that can afford it? In other words, if somebody's willing to pay you $10,000 or $20,000 for a financial plan, and you create this plan and you have no obligations to them afterwards, why not? I mean, Bill Bachrach calls this survival income. My business partner, Rick Barrera, says, you know, this is capacity. You've got greater capacity than you're actually using. In other words, you could crank out more of these plans on a monthly basis than you currently are. So you have excess capacity. But whatever you want to call it, You can generate this revenue. It's delegated. More on this late in a minute, but we delegate this to your team, not to you. So why not? You know, if you could generate $10,000 or $20,000 by having your team create a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, well, then why not? You have no obligations to them after the plan is created, and therefore, that technically they're non-ideal clients because they might come back to you every year or two or three to pay again and update the plan, which we charge the same amount every time we update the plan. But regardless, you know, those are non-ideal clients. So I track referrals from that community of non-ideal clients on a separate report card than I do my ideal clients that are paying $45,000 per client per year. Can you see why? They are paying the freight, these ideal clients. I need the referral rate from these ideal clients to be on an increasing slope. In other words, I know if clients are referring, I know that if ideal clients are referring others to me, they're happy. So it's a measure of client satisfaction. It is the best measure of client satisfaction. Now, I'm not saying that if an ideal client is not providing referrals, that they're unhappy with you. I'm not saying that. That is not true for sure. All I will say is, but if they are referring, can we all agree that a client that provides you with referrals is happy with you? Otherwise, why would they risk their reputation, you know, sharing the good news of you with other people, people that they know and love and care about? So in the upper right-hand corner on the referability dashboard, that's where it talks about how many referrals did you get have the last month. And we recommend you go by calendar months. So that's 3 referrals the last calendar month. So the below that, the one with the, see the mostly green pie chart with just a little sliver of red there, that's what we call the participation rate in the last 12 months. So that big green part of that pie chart is showing, you know, these are the clients that have made at least one referral in the last 12 months. In other words, how many of your clients are participating in this whole project to share the good news of you with other people? Well, in this case, in my case, most clients have provided at least one referral in the last 12 months. And that little sliver of red, those are the clients that have not provided even one referral in the last 12 months. But I think you'd, as an indicator, I think that's important for you to want to know, right? Like how many clients are actually referring to others. Then the pie chart below that, that looks almost identical, the one at the bottom of the left-hand column, that's the middle one is participation rate the last 12 months. So how many clients have provided a referral in the last 12 months? The one below it is how many clients have, what's the participation rate since the inception of tracking it this way? So if you've been tracking it this way for 5 or 10 years, well, it goes back to inception. Okay, so that's the 3 on the left-hand side. Let's start in the middle, and let me just cover a couple of things in the middle. At the in the middle, it says the annual referral rate, which we abbreviate as TARR, the annual referral rate. By the way, not to be confused with the annual recurring revenue exercise, which is ARR. TARR is the annual referral rate. It's your client annual referral rate. So per client, on average, how many referrals did the average ideal client provide you in the last 12 months? All right. So 2.733. So we go to 3 decimal points and we are looking for this number. This is the key number that we track every month. We have your administrative manager recalculate it on a monthly basis. If you're using this spreadsheet, it'll calculate everything for you, including produce this referability dashboard. So all of this is produced automatically. All you have to do or your administrative manager has to do is to enter the referrals as they come in and associate them with a client. So you've got this client referring this person on this date. So every time you receive a referral, your administrative manager just comes into this spreadsheet and enters those three pieces of data. All right. So 2.733. So let me state that in a different way. In the last 12 months, my average ideal client provided 2.733 referrals. Now, let's just pause a minute and think about that for you. How many clients do you have? 10, 20, 30? I realize we're going to separate non-ideal clients from ideal clients, but let's say we put them together just for a moment. How many total clients do you have? 10, 20, 30, 50, 100? When I first met Bill Bachrach, I had 1,242 non-ideal clients. And so, you know, how many clients do you have? All I want you to do is to say, think this way. Of your 50 best clients, what if you were receiving almost 3 referrals per client per year? Would your business be a little bit different? Would that keep you busy following up with referrals? So in our program, the average for beginners in our program is 2. So, and some advisors have to work really hard to get from 0 point whatever. In other words, many advisors start calculating this and they realize I'm not even getting 1 referral per client per year. So the first step is to figure out your next milestone, and don't get frustrated. Just focus on the next milestone. If your annual client referral rate, what we call the annual referral rate, TARR, if it's less than 1, well, that's your first milestone, getting it over 1. The average in the first 12 months is 2. So imagine getting from wherever you are right now to 2 referrals per client per year. And if you have, I don't know, 20 clients total, well, that's 40 referrals per year. So you start to get the idea. This is a not only a measure of success, this will help you acquire clients as well. And what are we actually talking about here? It's getting your team focused on the team goal. Each team member accepts, acknowledges, and is willing to pull their weight when it comes to making sure that every client's expectations are not met, but exceeded. Okay. So you tell your team that the team goal is to consistently exceed our clients' expectations. Okay, fine. Then what's actually happening? Well, this is the way to measure success. And below the 2.733, that's the chart going back 12 months. That's what you're looking for. You don't even have to read the legend of that chart to see that it's sloping up and to the right. It's going in the right direction. I mean, if that was a stock chart, you'd say, well, I don't know what company that is, but it seems to be moving in the right direction. Okay. So that's all I wanted to cover in the middle. The annual referral rate is, you know, the average number of referrals per client per year. Let's focus on the right-hand side and then we'll be done. The first of those 2 pie charts on the right-hand side at the top, the one on the left is quality of referrals last month. Okay. And so what does that mean? Well, how many of those referrals ended up being potential ideal clients versus when you sat down with them, how many ended up actually being potential non-ideal clients? So it kind of acknowledges the fact that when you get a referral, you don't know until you sit down with them if this person's going to meet your ideal client profile or not. So this tracks that. So it's going back and saying, you know, of the referrals that I received, certain percentage ended up being potential ideal clients. That's in the green. A certain number of them ended up being potential non-ideal clients. In other words, I might do a $10,000 or $20,000 financial strategy for them, but that's it. I'll do that. And then I have no future obligations to them. But this acknowledges that it doesn't matter. All you want to do is get your clients used to providing you with referrals. It doesn't matter whether they're ideal or non-ideal clients. You have a way of generating revenue off either one. What the main thing is you want your clients to be referring anyone, which is literally just a signal that they are satisfied with your services. And then on the right, the pie chart on the right-hand side of that, the pie chart in the farthest upper right-hand corner, that is referral superstars. That's the 80-20. So it's how many clients provided at least three referrals over the last 12 months. Now that's what we call referral superstars. So that upper right-hand corner pie chart is what percentage of clients have provided three or more referrals in the last 12 months. And then the last thing I wanted to show you is that little bar chart at the bottom. That's what I call the 80-20 chart. And when you go through the module, you'll learn all of this. But if you do nothing, if you do not get your team focused on exceeding client expectations, then what are referrals going to look like from your community of clients? Would it surprise you if I told you, if you do nothing about referrals to encourage referrals, and I'm not saying encourage clients, encourage your team to knock your client's socks off. If you do nothing, then referrals will be about 80-20. In other words, if you don't pay attention to this, then 80% of your referrals will come from 20% of your most satisfied clients. And that's just the way of the world. That's how it works out. 80-20. So why are we tracking that bar chart there? It answers a different question. 80% of my referrals are generated by what percentage of my clients? And if it's over 20%, that shows you that you're winning. That means you've broken the cycle where 80% of your referrals come from 20% of your clients. If you could read that chart right there, it says 80% of referrals were generated by 56.7% of the clients over the last 12 months. What that means is 56% of your clients generated 80% of the referral. Anything that you can move above 20% shows tremendous effort on the part of your team, because naturally it just falls to 80-20. 20% of your clients will be inclined to refer, and it might not be 20, it might be 10 or 15 or 30 or something. But the point is, you'll have a very, very small percentage of clients producing or providing most of your referrals. That's just natural. So if you can work with your team and push that so that more clients are referring, why? Because you're knocking their socks off and they can't help but mention you to their friends. Well, in this case, 56.7% of the clients represent 80% of the referrals. In other words, nice work. Okay, so that's the annual referral rate and the referability dashboard. It is a tool. It's module 15. If you're already getting tons of referrals, I would say more than two a month, well then, as you can do in this program, and I want to make sure everybody's aware of this, if you need a module now, not later, you just need to contact us and say, I need that referability dashboard right now. I'm getting multiple referrals every single month, and therefore I need a dashboard so I can share this with my team. And that's the parting shot on the referability dashboard. Your administrative manager will create this once a month for your ideal client community and your non-ideal client community, tracking them separately, and will distribute this report to your team monthly. So that's the referability dashboard, and that is a tool. If you start showing your team, I'm tracking referrals, I am measuring my team by the referrals, and what I'm looking for is an increasing rate of referrals. Well, if your team knows that you're looking at their quality and quantity of service to your clients, then the fact that you're monitoring referrals and you're judging your team by that referral rate, they will start making the effort to really impress your clients even more. And even real small efforts of your team to work even harder to impress your clients will begin showing up in referrals. Okay, so that's it for question number one. Question number two, let me fly through this. I've been implementing the Advisor Pact monthly program for 9 months. Congratulations for sticking with it for 9 months. Good on you. I've built a team. So can I assess how well or how closely I've implemented the truly comprehensive financial services model in this program? In other words, how do I measure the client service side, not the client acquisition or referral side? All right. Let me start by saying the referral rate is one way. So everything we just went through with the referability dashboard, if your referrals are going up on a monthly basis, your referral rate, I meant to say. So if your number of referrals per client per year is increasing every single month, keep in mind we're calculating the annual referral rate to decimal point of 3. So 0. decimal, we're tracking it down to, you know, 3/1000ths of one person. Okay. So the point is that you're tracking small incremental numbers. Therefore, you can get an increase in referral rate. Even if you get one additional referral, you will see the chart rise because we are calculating it to such a small number. But I think what they were getting at on this question is there are a lot of moving parts in all these modules. Mark, how do I tell how well I'm or how closely I'm following the method that you're laying out for me? All right, so let's go through that. There are just, believe it or not, a few steps that you can measure to make sure that you're implementing well. And I'm going to go through these with you, but it's just a few steps that you need to measure. And you know, good for you to catch on that there is a way to measure this. There is, and let's just fly through it real quick. So the first step is, have you built a team? So it's just a yes, no question. What do I mean by building a team? Well, let me start by saying I have data on this. Affluent clients are skeptical in the one-man band approach. Now, I'm not criticizing a financial planner who claims to be an expert in all areas, including tax, estate planning, money management, risk and safety and insurance. You know, that's fine. They want to hold themselves out that way. I'm not criticizing it even. The reason I came up with this slide, this, you know, way that this looks, because when you study the actual data on this, this is how clients view advisors who claim to be experts in all areas. You know, they're call it skeptical. And I will say the more successful and the more affluent the client family, the more skeptical they are of the one man band model. All right. So rather than being a one-man band, delivering all the services yourself, our model has you stepping out of the orchestra where you're delivering some part of the service. Maybe you're doing the financial plan yourself. Maybe you're managing the money yourself. But somehow, some way, if you're delivering part of the service, the goal is where you're heading is you're stepping up out of the orchestra as a member of the orchestra, and you're now the orchestra conductor. You are conducting the orchestra. So what does the team look like? Well, I tend to talk in terms of a team of 5 subject matter experts: tax, money management, financial planning, estate planning, and insurance. But it's more accurate to think of it this way. It's 5 areas of personal finance. The question is, can it be covered by less than 5 people? Yes. In the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, our flagship program, we're very clear about this. We have whole modules on this, which is to say, what if you have someone who's an expert in 2 areas? Can we combine areas in 1 subject matter expert? And the answer is yes. And I do that myself. But the ground rule is, and your question was, how do I measure my effectiveness at implementing? You need to have a minimum team of three subject matter experts. So you can combine two functions, but not three. So as long as you've got at least three subject matter experts covering all five of these areas. So if you have less than five, let's say you have three subject matter experts, as long as somebody is willing to jump in and cover all, you know, make sure that your team, which is a minimum size of three subject matter experts, is covering all five of these areas of personal finance, so that's the number one ground rule. Number two ground rule is, and I realize it may be a while to get there, but the number two ground rule is, and you as the trusted advisor are not performing any of these five areas. So it may be just sort of a goal for the future, but as long as you have a minimum of three subject matter experts covering all five of these areas of personal finance, and you are literally just conducting, you know, you're orchestrating those three to five SMEs, well, then you're fine. You've built the team. That's where we are. So next is comprehensive. So it's installing truly comprehensive financial services. What do we mean by that? Well, we, in these 15 modules, provide you with 10 client deliverables. So picture this. If you're new to the program, picture this. You have those five areas of personal finance that we just showed you, and we've got 10 client deliverables. So let's say for every ideal client, you have 10 client deliverables, which we provide you. And you've got these five areas covered by your subject matter experts. The question is, can your subject matter experts across these five areas deliver on these 10 client deliverables every 12 months? And so the way you do it is you insist when you as you're building your team and you have your subject matter experts covering all five of these areas, have you required your subject matter experts to provide you with a checklist for each of these five areas so that when you check everything off of these checklists, your team is confident they have delivered on these 10 client deliverables? So we provide your team with the 10 client deliverables. It's up to you as a leader to hold them accountable to creating a checklist. We call them deliverables checkpoints underneath each of the 10 client deliverables so that you have a checklist created by your team, meaning that when these things are all checked off, your team is confident that the 10 client deliverables is being delivered every 12 months. Do you follow me? So comprehensive means that you've utilized the tool that we've given you, which is the 10 client deliverables, and you've sat down with your team. You've built the team already. So you've got however many subject matter experts, let's call it three, covering these five areas, and you have demanded that they create a checklist for each of the 10 client deliverables to make sure that they are being done annually. All right. If you've done that, you're ready to move to the next. Now, you've got the mechanics nailed down. You've got a team. They're delivering comprehensive financial services. The question is, are you extraordinary? Now we start to focus on creating an extraordinary experience for your clients and making sure that you understand the expectations of each of your clients, and you simply ask them, what do you know, if we're exceeding your expectations, what does that look like? And you've asked that of each client, and you've documented what they said, and you've shared it with your team. So your team, for their part, is delivering comprehensive financial services. And what you've done for your part is you've, in addition to that, asked each and every client, you know, if we're sitting here a year from now and we've exceeded your expectations, walk me through that. What did we do? So you are getting that information from each and every client. You're documenting it for your team, and you've shared it with your team. So you are now in the process, you're moving beyond comprehensive financial services to delivering an extraordinary client experience. And part of that experience is implementing what we call the three meeting process. So you know that you're on the road to delivering an extraordinary client experience if you follow this three meeting process. And I'm going to go through it so quick that you're thinking, whoa, could you run that slow by me a little more slowly? If you have questions about the three meeting process, either go back to past webinars where we go through it in painful detail, or if you have a specific question about this three meeting process, just ask. I'll cover it next month. So here's how it works. You've got all these meetings in a row, you know, from the initial client interview, you've got then an implementation meeting 14 days later, 45 days after that, you have the initial progress update. That's when your first draft of your comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy is due and payable from your SMEs. So that's the initial progress update meeting. And then 45 days after that, it's the initial comprehensive safety review meeting. So if you add up all those time elapsed in between meetings, it's 104 days to create the overarching plan. All right. So in a new client relationship, you allow your team 104 days to finalize the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, but they have to produce the draft within the first 59 days. So the way to have it in your mind is you acquire a new client. 2 months later, you've got the draft of the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy completed by each of your five SMEs. And then they have 45 days to dial it in and finalize it. And, you know, we can go through that if you have questions about that. But the point is, first thing you do with every client is create their overarching plan, and then you release this client into what I call the routine three meeting process. So it just means that after the overarching strategy is created, now you're meeting with the client every 4 months, like clockwork, forever. Each of these meetings in the three meeting process has a specific agenda, so that every 12 months you're circling every issue. And again, the purpose of these meetings every 4 months is to deliver the deliverables, is to complete the deliverables checkpoints that your team has created, so that you have delivered on the 10 client deliverables every 3 months. The platform that you've got or your team has in order to deliver on the promise of truly comprehensive financial services is the three meeting process. The three meeting process is the platform that you're going to deliver on your promise, because you're meeting with clients every 4 months. Okay, so there we go. That's the extraordinary experience. And then, so what is trusted? Well, at this point, the objective is, you know, you have a team delivering truly comprehensive financial services, and you're delivering it in an extraordinary client experience. So what's left? Well, let's talk about you becoming the single most trusted advisor in the client's life. So let me back up, and we cover this in other ways in other webinars, but let me just cover it this way for this webinar. You've got your team, all right? So your team is creating the strategy. Your team is strategic. So, and your team is filling in the gaps for a client. In other words, a client hires you. Why? Well, if I were to really simplify the language, I would say because you did a really effective job at shining the light on some gaps that are not happening in their current financial life. And so therefore you're being hired, you and your strategic team, to fill those gaps. And so one of those gaps almost always is that there is no comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy currently in place. So your strategic team starts by creating that immediately. So that's the whole, you know, one-time meetings where you have 104 days to create this strategy. But the point is, your team is strategy and oversight. So oversight of what? All right. So the one thing I can tell you about most affluent clients is they've already got a team in place of some sort. They may have a tax accountant. They may have a money manager. They may have money parked at the bank and they work with somebody at the bank, or they may have an insurance agent that manages mutual funds for them or something, but they may have a money manager. Most of them have an estate planning lawyer. It may have been years and years or decades ago when they actually updated their wills and trusts, but oftentimes your client already has an estate planning lawyer that they've used in the past. And of course, every client has insurance agents, even if it's just auto and homeowners insurance. But the point I'm getting at is your client has their team and you've got your team. Your team is focused on strategies and oversight, filling gaps. So the question is, what with your team in place, what now does the client's team do? Well, same as before. They are the implementation team. Your team is creating the strategy, the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, which did not exist before you came along. And it's your team's responsibility to share that with the team and to reach out and make contact to the client's team. In other words, your team reaches out to the client's team and develops a relationship. Okay. And their job is to implement the strategy. So your job is strategy and oversight, and their job is to implement. So your insurance subject matter expert will reach out to the client's insurance agents and share the comprehensive written lifetime insurance strategy that did not exist, and now it does. And so they'll work together. And, you know, the question on the table is, can your SME, your subject matter expert, play nice in the sandbox? In other words, they've got to have the skill to reach out to your client's insurance people, and your client's insurance agents don't feel threatened by your subject matter expert. So what are they doing? Well, they work out a relationship. And they explain, your team member explains to them, look, I'm here to help you. We're meeting with the client every 4 months. You ever need anything from a client, just let me know. I'll make sure to get it to you promptly, because we meet with the client every 4 months. And so it's a relationship where we're more or less there to serve. However, we tell them in no uncertain terms, don't provide the client with any recommendations without running it through the team first. So if you've got a recommendation for the client, we encourage you to do that. Just submit it to the team first so that we can make sure that what you're recommending, we can talk to you about it. We can make sure that when you're making a recommendation, that it is perfectly aligned with the overarching plan now that it exists. Follow me. And then the estate planning lawyer reaches out to the estate planning lawyer. Maybe the wills and trusts have not been even looked at for 10 years. Well, our team will make sure that they update that, okay, if that's what the action items are. But the point is, our team is strategy. Our team is oversight. Who are we overseeing? Our team is overseeing the implementation team. Why? Because there are gaps. That if we wouldn't have been hired if the client's team was pulling it all together, and they weren't. So our money manager reaches out to their money manager, our tax accountant reaches out to their tax accountant. You get the idea. And so the one role that we don't allow to be duplicated is financial planner. So our financial planner is the only financial planner that they have no need for one. And if they get offended by this, meaning the client or their financial planner, you just point out, look, it wasn't working. Like something wasn't happening. There was either no way to measure success, or none of these SMEs were talking to each other before we came along. They weren't coordinating. Something was dysfunctional. So the one role that we are replacing, if it even exists at all, is if the client has their own financial planner, well, this is This is one thing that's for sure. We've identified gaps. The clients hired us to fill those gaps. And the one gap that we're filling was a dysfunctional financial plan. Therefore, if they have a financial planner involved, they've got to go. Okay. So that's the, you know, once you've got your team reaching out to their team and it's synchronizing, it's orchestrating like a concert symphony orchestra, where your team is got a great relationship with the implementation team. They're there to help each other, and they run recommendations by each other. It's a very functional, friendly, collegial relationship. Once that's happening, then you've not only built your team, and it's it's in place. All five areas are covered. They've created deliverables checkpoints to make sure that the 10 client deliverables are being implemented. They're utilizing the platform of the three-meeting process to deliver an extraordinary client experience. And because they have reached out to each of the client's implementation team members, if they exist, because that relationship is strong, these are the four tactical steps for delivering on the promise of your Advisor Pact pledge. So you asked me, how do I assess how closely I am and how well I'm implementing this method that we're covering in the Advisor Pact monthly program? This is the steps. And one thing I will tell you before, you know, I'm going to wrap up here, but the one thing that we encounter over and over and over is advisors who seem to want to gloss over or skip a step. You can't skip any steps. That's part of what we're looking at when we go back and assess your implementation. So if you've, like this advisor, if you've implemented, you know, let's say the first 15 modules, or even if you've implemented the first 5 modules, it's worth asking us, you know, how well you've implemented. So if just reach out to us, just contact us and tell us your situation. I've been in the program X number of months. How do I gauge how well I've implemented? Well, we're going to ask you to tell us what did you actually implement as a result of each module, but we'll work with you. That's a perfect example of how we can coach you through this. I can't tell you over the years how many advisors say, okay, I've been in your program for 15 months. I've implemented the 15 modules and I'm not getting 3 client referrals per month on average from each client, you know, average referral rate. Okay, well, let's go back and see how well you implemented. Now, they didn't implement fully. They went through the modules, they read them, interpreted them, understood them. They have what I would call head knowledge, so they understand the concept. But when we go look at what they've actually put into place in their business, yeah, we got to go back and make sure that everything was implemented more or less the way I walked through it. You can't skip any steps. But if you go through the process the way that I did just now, you can do it. It's really just 4 steps to the top. And you'll look back on it after, you know, 10 or 15 or 16 months. It does take a time to get your team in place, but you know, it never takes over 16 months, and it could take as little as 5 months. Depends on what your team looks like when we first start working with you. But you can do this, is the point. And I wanted to share one final thing with you. If you have to go ahead and go. We are cooking something behind the scenes that we have never shared, and I'm going to share it with you today. And it's a certification for what we've just been going through today. In other words, we were approached by a larger firm with multiple offices saying, you know, if we, you know, we'd like to implement your methodology, Mark, in all of our offices. Can you create a certification for each advisor in each of these offices so that they are either certified financial advisor mastery, or they have failed to meet the certification standards? So what I'm about to share with you is a draft. It's just kind of what I've put together and I'm thinking about. I'm going to formalize this over the next quarter. And so if you have questions about this, I encourage you to reach out and share your thoughts and questions, because you know, it's not firm. It's not firmly set cement at this point. It's at the point where I'd actually love to hear your feedback on this. But how do you sum up and certify all the things that we just went through have been done? Well, here's what I'm thinking thus far. That you have a team of at least three people covering all five areas of personal finance. That the 10 client deliverables are being covered by an annual checklist of what we call deliverables checkpoints created by your team of SMEs. In other words, you have all five areas covered and your team has created a checklist under each of the 10 client deliverables to make sure that each of those 10 things gets done on an annual basis and you cycle through it. I'll give you an example. If you're in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, in other words, if you're using my deliverables checkpoints, there's 142 deliverables checkpoints that we cycle through every 12 months for every ideal client. Okay, so that's mine, my deliverables checkpoints. But you don't have access to mine. What I'm teaching you to do, I mean, what I'm teaching you to do is exactly what I did. Get your team in place and then get your team, present your team with the 10 client deliverables and say, look, I need you to create a series of checklists underneath each of these 10 client deliverables so that nothing ever falls through the cracks and all these 10 things get done on an annual basis. This will be your custom deliverables checkpoints. You'll have your own. I don't know if it'll be 142 deliverables checkpoints, but I think the smallest I've ever seen was 70 or 75 or 74 or something like that. The most I've seen is 210. But the point is, have you required your SMEs to create checklists under each of the 10 client deliverables so that over every 12-month period, they're getting done? So if that's happening, you're certified. We give you a star for that. The third thing is that each SME is updating their comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy at least annually for every ideal client. So what does that mean? That means that the tax SME every year is updating the comprehensive written lifetime tax strategy. The estate planning lawyer every year is updating the comprehensive written lifetime estate planning strategy. Your money manager is every year updating the comprehensive written lifetime money management strategy, and so forth. So you've got these five areas of personal finance. These five areas have comprehensive written lifetime strategies in each of those five areas that's updated at least annually. So if that's checked off, if that's happening, part of the certification is accomplished. And then fourth, there have been a minimum of 45 impressive above average action items provided to your ideal client over the past 12 months, each and every ideal client. So let me say it another way. Your team has provided your ideal client a minimum of 45 above average action items over the last 12 months, each ideal client. So where did that number come from, and what is above average versus below average, or what's impressive versus not impressive? That's a question for another day. It's a really good question. And we train you as the advisor how to respond to that. But let's just take it at face value. Let's say this. You've got all five areas of personal finance covered, and you establish with each subject matter expert what we recommend, which is the two SME expectations. In other words, you're requiring every subject matter expert, you're saying, I expect you to do these two things. Create and update every client's comprehensive written lifetime strategy for your area of finance annually. That's number one. And we've already checked that one off. The second thing I expect every SME to do is to provide a minimum of three above average action items or recommendations per client per client progress meeting. So the client's coming in three times a year. Every time the client comes in, I'm getting three impressive action items from the tax expert. I'm getting three impressive action items from the money manager. I'm getting three from the financial planner, estate planning, insurance, and so forth. And just to take it further, I tell them what I'm really expecting is five per client per meeting, but I will allow a minimum of three. And you'll define what above average versus below average or impressive versus non-impressive. You'll clarify that. But do you see what we're looking at right now? So if at every client progress meeting, these numbers of really knock your socks off recommendations are being produced by your team, how many is that? That's 15, a minimum of 15 impressive action items or recommendations at every client progress meeting. How many client progress meetings do you have per year? Three meeting process. So you've got a minimum of 15 impressive action items per client progress meeting, of which there are three. So 15 times three is 45. Well, there's where we got our 45. So The fourth certification is if we look back the last 12 months, were there a minimum of 45 impressive above average action items per client per year? In other words, over the last 12 months. If that is true, and for many of you, you're thinking right now, my administrative manager is not even tracking that. And you may have a lot of questions. That's fine. That's what this program's for. Contact us. Let me know your questions. I'll walk you through it. But the point is, for certification standpoint, this is the objective. You need to be providing a minimum of 45 knock your socks off recommendations to each client per year. And then the three meeting process is in place. And not only are you following the three meeting process the way we outline it, but in addition to that, all the meetings for the next 12 months are currently on the calendar for your ideal clients. So if we pulled up all your ideal clients and we looked out the next 12 months, all three meetings are currently on the calendar for the next 12 months. Now, they it's fine if they're tentative because, you know, clients often say, I don't even know where I'm going to be 12 months from now. So I hesitate even putting it on the calendar. To which you reply, that's fine. Let's just put it on the calendar. And as we get closer to the time, we obviously can reschedule if you have a conflict. But that's a certification. Are all your ideal client progress meetings scheduled right now for the next 12 months? If so, these are the five certifications. And I would say the oak leaf cluster, which is just the outcome of these five things that you've implemented, is for certification purposes, we would ask your team to keep improving until you have the annual referral rate above three as a score. So what does that mean? To be certified, your team has improved, honed and refined and improved this process until when you create your referability dashboard on a monthly basis, on average, your ideal clients are providing three referrals per client per year on average. And I would add to that, and this is what I'm kind of toying around with and would love your feedback. I think in addition to that, for someone to say that they are certified financial advisor mastery. In other words, what we're talking about here is not just implementation of these five things, but mastery. I think in addition to the annual referral rate being above three, that in addition to that, that you have added at least one ideal client over the past two consecutive quarters. In other words, over the last 6 months, you've acquired two ideal clients. So that's the certification. So that's it for this month. That's walking through very carefully how to measure success with client acquisition, with client service being referrals, to go through the actual implementation of the entire program. Even showing you as we begin, the process of offering a certification and all of this. I'm walking through this so you can just use this to communicate with me if you ever want my help assessing your level of implementation. You can use this certification metric as kind of where you're at. And if you want to have some kind of more individual coaching, well, contact us and sort of tell me on these six areas, where are you now? In other words, how far are you from this standard? And I think that's it. That's all I really wanted to share this month. I'll leave you with this, just parting shot. We use a lot of language in this program, like the three meeting process or, you know, TARR, that's a perfect example, the annual referral rate. If you or your staff get confused about the lingo, the vernacular in this program, you can go to mastery.link. And if you're used to, if you're used to Google Drive, you can make a copy of this spreadsheet and it's your own personal dictionary of terms, or you can just pop it up and look at it. Just go to mastery.link. But you can either just go look at it, or I would recommend downloading, making a copy, like go to file, make a copy, and make your own copy of this so that you've got your own internal version of this that you can even add to with your own terms over time. So that's it for this month. As always, I recommend that the value of this program is in getting coaching. So I don't see any questions for today. Must have covered everything. But if questions come up tonight or tomorrow or anytime over the next 30 days, go to the Advisor Pact program, find where it says contact us, click on that, and just in essence, share with me what you're struggling with. What's the single biggest obstacle right now preventing you from moving forward? And if you'll share it with me, I will get back with you so that you can get unstuck this month. And if you're asking something that I think would benefit everyone, I'll pluck your question out and deal with it with everybody next month. But until next month, this is Mark Little. Don't forget to make an Advisor Pact pledge with every single ideal client. Take care. See you next month.